All right then. So you mentioned in the prediction league, there's no change at the top in G3. It's also true in real life as well. But we do have, I don't know if it's signs of something going on in Akita, but they've drawn their last two games. They drew away at Kamatamari Sanaki last week, and then in their most recent game, they took the lead against Gamba Osaka's under 23s, but were pegged back by the Gamba Babies, who gave a really good account of themselves. Actually, they played some really good stuff. I noticed they had Jun Ichimori in goal, working his way back from injury, which helped them tremendously. But that's two games where Akita haven't won, John, and they've both been against teams that are from the west of Japan. So I remember saying that early on in the season, because of the way that the league was structured, they are a good team, and no one is denying that whatsoever. But I do think the league was quite kind to them in the fact that they faced Iwate, Hachinohe, and Fukushima in their first three games, and that got them off to a good start. But I always had that sneaking suspicion that when they faced teams, although they did beat Kumamoto at home, but they were kind of driven very close by them, and then the trip to Kamatamare where they drew, and now the draw at home against Gamba. I wonder if we're starting to see a little bit of equilibrium returning to the J3 table, or am I just reading too much into this result at the weekend?
I think you're half right, is my gut reaction. I think the fact that Akita traveled to Gifu at the weekend might be sort of leading you in an optimistic direction in terms of maybe Akita suffering their first defeat of the season. It's a tricky one because, as you said, I think did they draw against Sanuki
They
in
did,
the
yeah.
previous game? Now, Sanuki played really well in that game. And as you mentioned, I think Gamba's under 23s gave a really good account of themselves at the weekend, and perhaps could have won it, on another day. Having Jun Ichimori in goal in J3 almost seems like cheating.
Yeah, I think that's borderline
to play.
unfair.
It's like getting Messi, to
Yeah.
play just play. So I think they are fading a little bit. I even got that sense when they won at YSCC, the game that I got to go and see in the stadium. That was 1-0, but it was tight. Basically, they were able to win it by sort of at the start of the second half. They kind of went on a power play for about 15 minutes and just basically battered YSCC, got the goal that they needed, and then kind of just held on to that pretty, it has to be said, pretty effectively, pretty comfortably. And they did miss a penalty as well, which would have made it 2-0 and safer in that game. But yeah, I think they are fading just a little bit. It could be tiredness, I think. Talking about squad rotation, Akita are one of the teams that, like most J3 teams, they don't really have the depth to rotate everybody that they'd like to, I don't think. A lot of their winning is based on having this kind of set 4-4-2, with everybody knowing their job. So they do change one or two players, especially the forwards. But I don't think at the back they rotate very much, for example. I mean, you're not going to drop Yudai Tanaka, the goalkeeper, are you? Unless he collides with a goalpost and is concussed or something. So I think if you'd said to Akita, after 11 rounds you're going to be 6 points clear at the top, they would have taken it. But I do think they're not invincible by any stretch of the imagination. They're a very, very well organized, hard working team, and if you want to beat them, and this is something to keep in mind, I think, for the weekend game, you have to be as organized as them, and you have to work as hard as them. And if you do that, then you've got a chance. I think Saniki have shown it, and Gamba have shown it in the last two games. But yeah, they're still a team to beat, aren't they? I think.
Yeah, they are. They are 6 points clear of the teams joint second place, who are Gainari Tottori. They drew, I think. Yeah, they drew at YSCC, last weekend, and Rasa Kumamoto, who they beat Gruzia Morioka at home by 3-1. 6 points, it's not that imposing a lead right now. It's and as you mentioned there, Blaubitz Akita traveled to Gifu this weekend, and Gifu have a habit of beating teams around the top of the table. They've already beaten both Gainare, Tottori and Kumamoto so far this season. Gifu are coming into this game with don't know if they'll be a little bit fresher than their counterparts from Akita, because last weekend Gifu were playing in the early kickoff because they were playing on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. That's what we grew up used to having, right, John? The Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs. But what we weren't used to having is stadiums without floodlights, and also massive whack-off thunderstorms coming in at halftime and disrupting a pretty comfortable Gifu win. Gifu were 2-0 up at halftime, and they looked very, very comfortable. And then all of a sudden at halftime, the thunderstorms came. And because the game was the first ever J-League game being played in Koriyama, which is the second city of Fukushima, their stadium didn't have any floodlights. So once it was postponed past 5 o'clock, there was no chance of the game being continued. So at the moment, Gifu and Fukushima are just waiting for the J-League's and the match commissioner's advice on what to do for that game, whether it gets replayed from the start, replayed from half time, or whether Gifu are given the game, given the tightness of the schedule. No one's quite sure what's going to happen with that, but yeah, motherfucking weather again for Gifu, trying to screw us over. And much like we did in J2, John, what are we looking at for the highlights of J3 so far? Is it just as simple as Akita's defense and YFCC's attack, or what else are we looking at from the good points from J3 so far?
Yeah, I think this year I've made a special effort to watch more of the J3 highlights in particular, and I always look forward to seeing Fujeda's highlights, because you don't know what you're going to get in terms of a result, but you know you're going to get lots of goals. So I think Fujeda, I think if you're a Fujeda fan, you would perhaps like a bit less excitement. It's certainly at your end, you know, in your own penalty area. But I think they've been good to watch. I've enjoyed something we talked about in the kind of preseason warm-up pod or preview pod is Ima Barry. Just seeing them, how they're getting on sort of each week has been interesting as well. And it looked like Iwate were going to be dead and buried at the bottom, didn't it, initially? Did they lose the first six, was it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but now they won three in a row, and then they they're kind of right back in the thick of things. I think even Sanuki, who have been pretty unlucky and abject kind of by turns in equal measure over the first 10 games, they got their first win, didn't they? 4-2 away at Hachinohe at the week. So I think they're in it. So I think, again, no relegation down to the JFL, but I don't think they never have relegation anyway, do they really?
No, I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I think having those teams at the bottom still being kind of competitive has been something that I've enjoyed. Other good things, I think Kumamoto might be, it's going to sound weird because obviously we mentioned Akita ahead of the top, I think Kumamoto might be the best team. And I know Gifu have beaten them already, so that makes Gifu unofficial J3 champions, I suppose.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think Kumamoto are the team who I enjoy watching, but I think for my team, I would not be looking forward to playing against them.
Yeah, you're not going to get any arguments from me about Kumamoto. I really like watching them. Kaito Taniguchi on the left wing has been really, really good so far.
I just want to mention, Stu, before I forget, the who's the other player? Nakahara, Hikaru Nakahara. He plays on the right side, and he cuts in onto his left foot. I think he's left-footed actually, but plays on the right. And he scored cutting in from the right onto his left foot against Iwate this week. But he did it in the previous round as well with an absolutely brilliant goal. So yeah, he's my man to watch out for in the Kumamoto team, Hikaru Nakahara.
Well, that's what Takeshi Oki does. He plays the inverted wingers because he wants players cutting in and doing their damage from the middle of the pitch as opposed to down the wings. So I remember in his heyday in Gifu, we had Kyogo Furuhashi on one side on the left, who's right-footed, and Tanaka Paolo Junichi on the right, who's left-footed. And yeah, he just told them to cut inside all the time. Because the closer you are to the goal, apparently the more damage you can do. So, yeah, he likes having those wingers cutting in and being closer to the goal and being able to get off shots as opposed to get off crosses. So I think that's an astute observation there, John. Some of the other things, I'm kind of disappointed with Numazu. Like, I kind of feel that they're a team that has big ideas but doesn't have kind of a lot backing them up. I'm a bit disappointed with them. I'm disappointed in Gifu, of course. Even if they'd have won on Saturday, they would still be probably sixth, but that isn't good enough this season. For Gifu, they really need to get a move on and get their ass in gear, and it would be a decent time to start when Akita come to town on Sunday. I think that yeah, it's the level hasn't been that good, but I do think I think Akita are the most organised and the most street smart side, but I do think Rawasa are the best team to the best overall football team in the league. And yeah, so what's going to be interesting going forward, John, as long as Kenji Baba doesn't start scoring on a weekly basis, I'm all good with J3. But what I will mention, you mentioned Imabari there. They did sign Fagiano, Okayama striker Leo Mineiro, who had a very productive spell at Gifu a while back. He'll be a if he's over is if he is over his injuries, he'll be a dynamite addition to Imabari. Imabari team that looks solid but has only scored 11 goals this year. But again, they've only conceded 9. Then maybe the J3 version of Tochigi, which is a compliment. Most years it would be a defamation of character, but this year it's a good thing to be compared to Tochigi, I think. Yeah, and Imabari are doing really well so far. So long may that continue, John. I think we've. Oh, sorry, go for it.
I just mentioned Toyama very quickly, Stu, because I don't think we talked about Toyama much in our wrap up. But I see that they've been active in the transfer market this week, bringing in Yasumasa Kawasaki from Yokohama FC, a defender, and Yuta Taki from Shimizu as well, a midfielder. So
Ah,
you wonder if
yes,
they're
they
kind
do.
of getting their ducks in a row. Now they have the occasional impressive performance, don't they, Toyama? I think they winning 3-0 at Imabari over the weekend. Another good one. And I've just completely forgotten the name of their very talented midfield playmaker.
Sho Hanai.
Thank you. Yeah. Now he played up front for at least at the start in this game, and yeah, look pretty. He looks good wherever he plays. I think obviously attacking midfield is best position. I wouldn't rule out Toyama just getting up a little bit higher than they are at the moment. I think they are not in the Kumamoto tier or Akita tier right now, but they have the potential, I think, this year.
Yeah, you're not going to find any argument from me with that one. I think yeah, I think there's yeah, I think there's a lot to be there's a lot to come in this league. Like, I don't see Akita kind of steamrolling away continuously. I think there will be a slight kind of gravitational pull of them back towards the pack. I think, yeah, I think it's all to play for. It's still in J3 right now, and so yeah, we've got some interesting times ahead. Yeah, I think that probably brings us to the to a nice conclusion, a bit of a wrap-up pod, a bit of a kind of a bird's eye view of where we are, John. I think we've covered most of the bases. Of course, it goes without saying, but we should say it anyway. Big thanks to all the Patreons who put their hard-earned into what we do, and yeah, we are very appreciative of that. Obviously, sometimes our schedules can't align, but so far, John, we are undefeated. We've had a some kind of wrap-up for each match day. J3 and J2, so I think we're doing well so far. But yeah, John, until we reconvene next week, stay safe, man. And yeah, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Oh yeah, thanks, Jude. As usual, at J2 CantoBytes on Twitter is where the magic happens. So if you tweet us questions, we'll try and get to them on the pod, either on the next available pod, or we'll save them up for when we do this kind of more circumspect edition.
Yes, well said. Yeah, and yeah, in the meantime, and I'll extend the same thoughts to everyone else. Please stay safe. If you go out, enjoy the football. And until next time, we'll speak to you then. But until then, goodbye for now.